New Hampshire Now is simply about the interviews.
Chris, thank you very much, and your show is fantastic. I appreciate it.
Newsmakers from the highest office of the nation to City Hall here in Concord want to join us on the New Hampshire Now program to talk about what's on their minds.
A lot of what President Franklin Roosevelt did in demonstrating great American leadership and problem-solving abilities is something that I think we should continue on and do for the future.
We seek to inform, educate, and entertain with engaging dialogue with our guests.
You know, I get a chance to talk to your wife, and I get to interview her, which I'm fixing to do in the first next time I see her.
This is New Hampshire Now. Welcome to New Hampshire Now for the 10th day of July 2017. I am Chris Ryan. Appreciate you joining us for the program. This hour of New Hampshire Now is presented by the Prescription Center, where the health of you and your family comes first. Two great locations, one the Concord Hospital campus, the other at 125 North Main Street. Prescription Center also delivers prescriptions to you free of charge. It's the Prescription Center, where the health of you and your family comes first. Appreciate you joining us for the show. I am Chris Ryan, and this segment of it brought to you by the Concord Photo Service and the Photo Idea Center, located at 29 North Main Street in Concord. Concord Photo Service, working to preserve your memories to last a lifetime. If you are a United States Senator or a member of Congress, what happened over the weekend should be the breaking point for you for a couple of reasons. First off, Donald Trump tweeting after the G20 summit that we should work with Russia on cybersecurity. And then it came forth that Donald Trump Jr., despite multiple denials from the campaign that there were meetings that occurred between Russians and Russian emissaries and the campaign, multiple denials, Donald Trump Jr. last night said that, in fact, a meeting did take place. They're admitting, in fact, that a meeting did take place with Trump, then campaign manager, Trump Jr., excuse me, then campaign manager Paul Manafort, as well as Jared Kushner, the president's son-in-law, with a Russian attorney lobbyist who claimed that she had damaging information about Hillary Clinton. The rest of the situation really doesn't mean all that much. And he, you know, said that nothing occurred in regards to the conversation, that her allegations didn't make sense, that they were actually talking about adoption policies. But the first thing that I said, that it actually had taken place, the meeting had taken place, and they're now admitting that, is incredibly significant. If I am a senator and a congressman or woman who cares about America, this to me is a breaking point for them. The fact that Donald Trump, again, is pushing aside what Russia did during the course of this election, which in modern terms is an aggressive act, could be termed as a act of war from a hostile nation, and the president wants to work with them on cybersecurity moving forward, and making that statement. And then that coupled with the fact that a meeting did take place between key campaign officials, arguably the three most significant campaign officials at that point in time, an individual from Russia who wanted to help with their campaign. This, to me, is a breaking point. This is New Hampshire Now, 1-9-1450 and ConcordNewsRadio.com. I am Chris Ryan. Appreciate you joining us for the program. This hour of the show is presented by the Prescription Center, and that segment of the show presented by the Concord Photo Service. We'll come back with Wayne Lesperance, professor of political science at New England College, after this.
You're listening to New Hampshire Now on WKXL.
You're listening to New Hampshire Now.
Welcome back. You're on Hampshire Now. 1-9-1450 and ConcordNewsRadio.com. I am Chris Ron. Appreciate you joining us for the program. This hour of Hampshire Now brought to you by the Prescription Center, where the health of you and your family comes first. And this segment of the show presented by Paradigm Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. That's who my family trusts for all our plumbing, heating, and air conditioning needs. Paradigm Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. Experience the paradigm shift. For information, go to ParadigmPH.com. We begin this week by discussing Donald Trump and Russia, a topic that has drifted from the national conversation over the last couple of weeks. But after the admittance of Donald Trump Jr., that he met with a Russian lawyer who has deep ties to the Kremlin, the Russian mafia, and more. Things have changed, and the topic of conversation is firmly, once again, back on Russia and whether or not there was coercion that exists between the Trump campaign, Russia, and Vladimir Putin. This after a bizarre tweet from Donald Trump in which he said that the United States will be working with Russia on cybersecurity. And Trump in full deflect mode today, as is his allies, trying to focus on Hillary Clinton. It's bizarre, and we continue down this slow road. Wayne, how are you?
I'm doing well, thanks, Chris. How are you?
Great, appreciate you joining us for the program. So we're not going to get distracted by what Donald Trump is talking about today on Twitter and how the deflections are trying to take his team trying to deflect what was admitted by Donald Trump Jr. So, you know, here's the key thing. In my view, as I've said many times before, you always have to be very wary of what public officials say. And with this administration, it is times 10. So what Donald Trump Jr. says and what he says about why the meeting took place, what was discussed, what the Russian female attorney was bringing to the table, I don't think that any of that necessarily matters all that much. What I think matters is the fact that Donald Trump Jr., Paul Manafort, and Jared Kushner met with a emissary of the Kremlin on the premise that they had had information in regards to Hillary Clinton. To me, that is where this kind of starts and ends, because it signals that either they're willing to, you know, go along with things and willing to play ball, or this is a further signal. And again, this is, you know, we are getting probably, you know, 1/100th of the entire story and the relationship between Trump and Russia. But this, to me, to date, is the most significant revelation to take place.
And it's probably not the last one we're going to learn about, right? So let's step back for a second. Today's the day that Congress returns from its July 4th recess, and they're all coming back, raring to do the people's business, no doubt, and in the Senate especially, to work on that health care bill. But just wait, because before we actually get to do the people's business, we have another revelation and everything that you've just talked about. And so, again, this is Donald Trump, you know, distractor-in-chief, and we continue to move forward. There's lots we should be talking about the trip to Europe, about the interaction with Vladimir Putin, about healthcare, and plenty of other things. But we're gonna focus on this because it is part of, and rightfully so, because it is part of the unraveling of what we've been told. You could pull together, Chris, a series of clips from administration officials, all of which basically say the same thing. There was never any meetings with Russian officials.
Right.
There was never any, you know, interaction between the campaign and Russia. And here we have Donald Trump in a really bizarre way admitting that not only is that all not true, but the three top lieutenants of the campaign, I would say they're the three top lieutenants, met with a person who's a lobbyist, basically, for Russian interests. So it's all a denial, except it's not really true. And what's really bizarre, even more bizarre about this, is, as you know from talking to lots of folks who work on campaigns, the idea that you can get Manafort, Kushner, and Donald Trump Jr. in a room, in a meeting, at this point during the campaign, suggests to me that they really believe this person had clout, this person had something. I really don't buy it that this was a meeting about, you know, adoption issues. And that's kind of the pretense. The other piece of this is there were two...
Campaign manager would not be going to a meeting in regards to adoption issues. It just wouldn't happen. And, you know, if it were just, you know, this person who was a friend of a friend, and, you know, maybe Donald Trump Jr. goes... and we'll take that they're kind of, you know, rough around the edges and green in regards to how, you know, international politics works and, you know, what laws they may have been breaking potentially by having this meeting. But, yeah, my dad's running for president, and, you know, this person says that they have, you know, bad stuff on Hillary Clinton. So I know them through a friend and so forth. So therefore, I'm going to discuss things with them. But, you know, to bring... as you mentioned, the other two individuals along indicates that this was something that was, you know, very significant. And I also, again, there has not been a direct connection established between, you know, Donald Trump and you know, this conversation or other conversations that took place with Russians, whether it's, you know, the former ambassador Kislyak or whomever. But I do, given what we know about Donald Trump and given, you know, what, you know, he has said and what Eric Trump has said on this program about how Donald Trump operates and the how much he micromanages, situations, I have high difficulty believing that, you know, Donald Trump Jr. wouldn't run this by Donald Trump, who basically ran the campaign himself, for the majority of the time,
or report back after the fact. So,
right.
You know, there's no plausible deniability here. I mean, there's just too many holes, you know, in the story. Think too, Chris, that there were really two explanations that came out. There was one that really was dismissive of this as a nothing story. I mean, I think Ranch Priebus called it that. But Don Jr. put out two versions of what happened. And the second version was much more detailed, and really where he sort of admits that, you know, this was a person who said they had stuff on Hillary and everything else. And so something happened between the first iteration and the second iteration. I imagine it involved lawyers, and they had to try to get control of the message. There's more to this. There's no question in my mind. And, you know, I guess to sort of pull back to the 30,000-foot view, this is exactly the kind of thing that happens when you have an ongoing investigation. Lawyers for the people that are involved, that are being investigated, are trying to position themselves to be ahead of any potential stories that are going to come out of the Justice Department. And so that's what this feels like to me. Like, this was a piece that was sitting out there. They wanted to get ahead of it. They did it clumsily the first time. The second time, they did it more robustly. But at the end of the day, all it does is to confirm that, yes, the Trump campaign, we can say generally, did have contact with Russia.
Right.
Despite all of the myriad denials. If I'm Sessions, boy, I am really now nervous about what I had just gotten through saying to the Senate in that committee hearing. I'm really nervous about all the things that I denied. You know, and you can go down the list. Kellyanne Conway definitively saying there's nothing here, there's no story.
Pence.
Pence saying, I joined the campaign in the summer, and you know, I can tell you that on my watch, none of this happened. Except it did, and
yeah.
We only know for sure now about this one instance. I'm highly doubtful that this is a one and done thing. That the fact that you could get those three guys together for a meeting suggests to me they were open to it. And if they were open to it, the Russians certainly pursued it in other ways. I just got to believe that. And so I have no evidence of that, and we're going to have to wait and see. But I suspect you and I will be having this conversation very often over the next few months.
So let's go back to, you know, the beginning here, and about a year ago, when to me this really started to come to the forefront, because Donald Trump was behaving in a way that just didn't make sense in regards to Russia, and just a lack of curiosity about other nations in the world and how, you know, the world worked, and, you know, started to say things very, you know, pro-Russian, question why we had this bad relationship with Russia. Paul Manafort, with his ties to to the Kremlin and also pro-Russian forces in the Ukraine. The changing of the GOP platform to reflect a more pro-Ukrainian government, Russian policy stance. And that, to me, was the first thing that was that really raised red flags, because the candidate was acting in a certain way and saying certain things that were very different than how he had interest in other nations and other ongoing scenarios. The deference to Putin when he is not an individual who seemingly defers to anyone. So there was obvious behavior on the campaign at the forefront, which reflected something was amiss behind the scenes. And the other thing that has really come to the forefront is how he has gone after the intelligence agencies, and did that from the beginning. Has denied the fact that Russia interfered in the campaign. Has gone after the media. Has gone after the FBI director. It seems to me that Donald Trump knows how this play ends, and that he has continually attacked the various institutions that are going to play a role in how the play ends, and has tried to damage, their credibility in order to as he did during the campaign. When Donald Trump feels that a person has, is superior in one way or another, or is a threat, he drags that person down into the mud with them, to the point of which that they are muddied up as much as he is, so that they're so muddied up you can't tell the difference. And that, to me, that dynamic that we saw during the campaign with his opponents has been what is its play with all the various institutions that are going to determine and play out for the American people how this play ends with him in Russia.
So the business of social science is the business of finding patterns, right? Patterns in behavior and how people behave, how people act, what they do, and then try to be predictive there, right? What you've just described is a perfect example of the work, the kind of work that we do. And so when we look at Donald Trump, right, I like the way you described it. Whenever he perceives a threat, whenever he perceives somebody or something is going to, represent a challenge to him, either immediately or in the future, he puts in motion efforts to basically discredit, dismantle, destroy. Whatever he can do to take them apart, he's going to do. We saw it very early on in the campaign cycle with Jeb Bush,
yep.
Right? And then as others began to rise up in the polls, you could see him sort of take them on as well. And one by one, it was ad hominem attacks. Little Marco, Lion Ted Cruz, right? We can come up with the one-liners. He came up for all of them. Low energy jab, and just go all the way through them. And then when he was elected, or right before he was elected, we have all the evidence of him going after the institutions, right? And throughout, he was talking about the media. I mean, you had reporters feeling very unsafe at Trump rallies. Intelligence agencies, the Congress. I mean, there was no sacred institution. If he perceived the threat, he went after him. So, we can say there's a pattern around the way Donald Trump behaves, which makes him predictable. I thought for the longest time it was just inexperience, lack. I try to really give him the benefit of the doubt, assuming that he's kind of blundering into these things because you feel strongly about an issue or a particular event. But no, I think it very much was planned, and I think it very much was, in his view, being proactive about protecting himself. And so, yes, all of this now feels very much like, it's how he operates, his MO, in terms of protecting his interests and what he wants. The question for me now becomes, is you now have your son who's exposed you a bit. You have a family member. You have a son-in-law who is in the thick of this. You have others who are not family, but people that are close to you, that they know how you work, they know your day-to-day, that you are now looking at as potential, threats to your future. What do you do with those folks? To what extent is he loyal to them? I know he has no loyalty. We've seen evidence that there's zero loyalty to the institutions of democracy, to the media, to other institutions of government, and to political opponents, political rivals. You're willing to go to a foreign power who does not have American interests at heart to at least flirt with the idea of getting help and beating Hillary Clinton. That says to me a lot to me about your character and how much you value our system of government.
I think the way you put it is great. I mean, yeah, they were flirting with, at the very least, we'll go with the admittance. The admittance is that they were willing to flirt with Russia and see what they had. And, you know, as we've seen over and over again over the last few days, whether it's, you know, campaign officials or administration officials with whether it's the Bush White House or other White Houses, you know, saying that this rises to a criminal level and that, in fact, a former George W. Bush lawyer said that if this were in the Bush White House, Donald Trump Jr. would be in custody.
Wow. I hadn't heard that. I did hear Republican lawmakers today basically saying something that I thought was rather chilling, and it was, this will not remain a mystery long. They are absolutely bent on getting to the bottom of this now. And I think that they all went home. They heard from their constituents to the extent that they had any kind of town hall or any kind of interactions. And I think that we're beginning to see Republicans out of just incredible discovery of integrity or self-preservation, realizing that hitching their wagons to the president for any kind of long term does not look like it's a smart strategy. And so that's not good news for the Trump folks either. And we'll see. I think at some point more of this comes out. I think this is the natural unraveling that comes with any kind of investigation. I wouldn't be surprised if Mueller's people were all over this and the lawyers or people like Donald Jr. got word of it and are in self-defense mode at this point. But either way, all of this eventually affects, even if it's incidentally, the president. And I'm suspicious that it's more than just an incidental awareness of this stuff.
Richard Painter was the chief White House ethics lawyer from 2005 to 2007, and he said on MSNBC last night that if this meeting happened in the Bush administration regarding Donald Trump Jr.'s meeting, they'd be, quote, in custody by now.
Yeah, I mean, that's stunning to me. Painter has been a critic of the Trump folks for a while now. He's a regular on any number of shows, and he's an ethicist. I mean, he sort of points out that, you know, A, we haven't seen this before, and B, the reason why is because it's not supposed to happen this way.
Right.
About any number of things, and this obviously has taken him to a different place.
Stuart Stevens has also long been a critic of Donald Trump's. He ran Mitt Romney's campaign in 2012, and he noted that one of the debate prep books was lost and came from the into contact with the Bush folks from Gore in 2000, and they called the FBI immediately because they didn't know where it came from, and they didn't want to look at it, and they handed it over. So again, there's a way that Donald Trump and these folks have operated, and they have kind of operated beyond the general rules and boundaries, and continue to, you know, to do so. And, you know, I could certainly see, you know, somebody from Painter's perspective and others who look at this, you know, again, I've talked about Mar-a-Lago over and over again, which is just a bizarre setup, which under any other circumstances would be, you know, raising questions of impeachment. But of course, you know, the president hasn't gone there for a while. But still, that to me is just a bizarre, you know, unethical, potentially, you know, illegal situation for a president to have a pay-to-play resort where he is interacting with folks. There was his place in Jersey where they were selling, you know, that the president may show up at your wedding.
Right.
I mean, just like,
and he did.
And he did show up at a wedding. Right. And, you know, and there's just a volume of this type of stuff where, you know, so many little things kind of fall by, you know, the wayside. And, you know, we've wondered over and over again what it will take for, you know, for Republicans to move forward. But, you know, if I'm John McCain today, I don't know how this isn't it. I really don't. I don't know how I can sit there and be like, yeah, but, you know, let's see how this plays out, or just issue a statement about how disappointed you are. Because with the tweet about working with Putin on cybersecurity to Trump Jr. meeting with this attorney to how he feels about Russia and Putin to begin with. I mean, I don't know how this doesn't become my thing at this point in time, and kind of railing on this on a day in, day out basis, and kind of getting, you know, getting the ball moving, or other individuals who truly believe in America over party. And I don't know how this isn't the kind of the breaking point for those folks.
No, I think you're right. I mean, I think that Republicans are regularly now being forced to confront partisanship versus patriotism. And what may be best for the country may not, in fact, be in the short-term interest of the party. I would argue that the long-term interests of the party are better served by always erring on the side of patriotism. But we'll see. And I think we saw, you know, some of the comments around the controversy around Mika Brzezinski. You have Republican lawmakers, some of whom have been quiet, relatively quiet when it comes to Trump, you know, taking to Twitter and pushing back pretty aggressively and on other airwaves. So it's the death of a thousand cuts, it feels like. But at some point, you're a lawmaker, and you've got to be able to look yourself in the eye. Someone like John McCain, who has made his, you know, fame on being a person of incredible honor,
right,
has to sort of say, you know, boy, this is not lining up with the faith of my fathers, to steal from his book. You know, and the values that I have put out there that I don't think anybody questions. At some point, you know, enough's enough. You know, Lindsey Graham is another one who you know is quick to make these funny little jokes and say, well, you know, that was a really bad thing and understated humor. But you know, at some point, you're beating your head against the wall, saying, what are we doing? What are we doing here? And as you get to more leadership, McConnell, who's got his own gripes with the president in terms of health care and other things, you know, others. We've got to get to where it's not just Susan Collins in Maine. It's not just Senator Ayotte when she sort of took him on as part of the campaigning process and paid a pretty steep price. It's not just those folks. We you know, if Republicans really want to, I think, stand up for the country, there's going to come a point where it's a step too far. And I don't, maybe we're there now, but boy, Chris, there's going to be more of these stories coming out over the summer. Who knows when that happens? But it really seems to be heading in that direction.
Again, though, in concluding, if I were McCain, and obviously we all know where I am on this anyway. But if I were McCain, and the tweet to me was out of the thousands of bizarre, embarrassing tweets that Donald Trump has had, that to me was the worst. I mean, that was the worst, and that would be to me pretty close to the treasonous line if I were McCain. And couple that with the Donald Trump Jr. thing. Obviously, as I mentioned before, we still don't have a direct link between, you know, the president and this, or financial ties or so forth that have been played out in the public specter and sphere. But we don't know what's happened, you know, behind closed doors in the Senate. But that tweet to me, which is now not getting as much play. I mean, that to me, if you love America and you believe that something really wrong happened in the past election in a foreign power, regardless of whether there was coercion or not, they played a role. It's not a clearly defined role, but they played a role in the last election and were able to have an impact via our intelligence officials and individuals with great integrity and honor have said was an act that was obviously clearly defined and calculated and had some degree of success in influencing the outcome of the election away from Hillary Clinton and towards Donald Trump. And those are the facts of the situation. You have to take the two people out of it, and take Hillary Clinton, take Donald Trump out of it. A foreign power wanted to see an outcome of an election, an adversarial foreign power, which we now have a president saying that he wants to work hand in hand with on moving forward on basically the act that they perpetrated. You know, this is a big moment for America and for leadership, and you know, moving forward, we've talked and Donald Trump has talked about America first, but I mean, this is far from that. I mean, this is a scenario in which is it okay for Iraq to go and influence our elections, or Afghanistan, or Syria, or whomever? I mean, I think that there needs to be a clear line drawn.
No, I think you're exactly right. I mean, think about that. We should talk about that more, you know, maybe later this week or next week, Chris. But we've asked the Russians to help us undo something they deny having done and being our partner in that process. It just doesn't make any sense. And the president has obviously backed away from it over the weekend because I'm guessing someone like McMaster's or somebody sat him down and said, Mr. President, you know, this is what we're suggesting here. But again, it just shows the deference, really. That's the word that comes to mind when it comes to Putin, and it's just not appropriate. It doesn't, like you said, it doesn't matter who the individuals are. If foreign power sought to tamper with our democratic process, that's enough for me. I don't really care about the particulars. That's an act of war. That's something that, you know, we ought to be really angry about it. And yet, you know, the denying, the fake news, the covering it, and we find out that at least your son and your top three lieutenants were flirting with it. So your credibility on this topic, if it wasn't shot before, it's shot now. If I'm John McCain, if I'm any senator who really loves their country and cares about our country, I think at the end of the day, this is it. There's no denying anymore. Donald Jr. admitted it. So what's left to find out? By the way, it doesn't matter whether you think or you agree that the Russians were successful or not. What matters is they tried.
Right.
What matters is the campaign at least had three people have a flirt conversation about it. Right? That's all. That's it. That's enough. And you're right. This is where this becomes a real test of people's loyalty. And I hope we see some, and I guess my position on this is pretty clear, too. I hope we see some senators step forward and say, you know, this is a step too far.
Wayne, as always, appreciate you joining us for the program.
Thanks for having me, Chris. Have a great day.
Here's what Wayne Lesser, professor of political science at NEC here on Hampshire Now. 1-9-14-15, ConcordNewsRadio.com. I am Chris Ryan. Appreciate you joining us for the program. This hour of Hampshire Now is presented by the Prescription Center, and this segment of the show brought to you by Paradigm Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning.
You're listening to New Hampshire Now. I was a